Well, Tolliver, I really didn't think we'd see the day. Not that we'd see the day that the Lakers specifically would be NBA champions, but I didn't really think we'd see the day that there was going to be an NBA champion.
I remember it well.
I really, when they started this bubble scenario, I remember thinking, like, this is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. You said that many times.
There's no way this is going to work. Like, you're going to Florida, which at the time was like the number one hotspot in the country for COVID.
Probably still is.
You know, there's just so many variables at play. We were in like just the absolute peak of the first wave of the pandemic. Like, I didn't think they'd be able to even get everyone down there. And then once they were like, okay, we're doing it, I was like, okay, 0% chance this makes it past the first round of the playoffs.
We're like, LA work is going to fly in.
LA work.
Somebody's
going to
be like, I really want to get some Wawa or whatever they have in Florida. You know, like somebody's going to. Wawa. Somebody's going to mess this up and like hit the club or something. But it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And I'm so happy I was wrong. Because it's been like truly the one joyful element of life the last few months. Like, it's been such a dumpster fire, sometimes literally, if you live in California. and you know, it's been like basically nonstop election news cycle coverage, like 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, famine, like fires, pandemic. Yeah. But like, there's been this one thing that's like so nice to just enjoy together. And it turns out that Adam Silver was right. Not only was it doable, but it was very nice to have, you know, something to be happy about and look forward to.
You know what? When I was picturing the bubble at first, I was seeing them all like in, I don't know, like in some kind of gulag or something. Like it was like picturing this really not great conditions. And then I saw like manicured lawns. I hear people are taking runs. I'm like, it's still hell. Like that would still drive me.
They finally brought a proper chef in. It looks like I was watching like some video on Twitter and it's like the Disney restaurants or whatever, like the players were like, no, this is not it, chief. And so they brought in like a celebrity chef who's catered for like Oprah and shit.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, yes.
I bet to you and I that Disney chef would be the most wonderful food we've ever had.
I don't know. I have a pretty discerning palate, Tolliver.
Oh, I do not. Okay. I was like, these rich guys think they deserve Oprah chef.
The thing about me is that I've never been rich or anywhere close to rich in my entire life. I've been varying degrees of poor, basically.
Right. Shades of poor.
Shades of poor.
That's your bio.
50 shades of poor.
Damn, that's another good one.
I'm on fire. This is what happens. We're taping early in the morning. But I will say that like I will spend money on food and beverage before anything else. So like my clothes are like mostly thrifted or from like, you know, like Urban Outfitters or some shit. And like, you know, the way same with like my home decor is all from like Craigslist and OfferUp and like Goodwill and stuff. But food, I this bitch will be in Erewhon. Like I love myself some high quality food. Yeah.
I see. I'm with
valet.
You.
If you haven't heard of Erewhon as a grocery store, all you need to know about it is that it has valet parking.
I went one time and I really enjoyed it.
It's delight. Here's the thing about like when you participate in a ritual that is usually reserved for rich people, like whether that's first class on an airplane or like Erewhon as a grocery store, you're like, oh yeah, it is fucking dope to be rich.
Yeah,
I can see why people are so desperate to achieve this because it's so nice. Like, yeah, it's just nice. Like, it's a feels better to participate when you do all the fancy things.
I mean, I live next to an empty lot.
You could build an Erewhon there. Exactly. The possibilities are endless.
It's just grass. It's just dead grass. And it's just like, what's supposed to be here? So it's not as good as Erewhon, unfortunately. Right.
But anyway, all that is to say that they did kind of pull it all together in the NBA bubble and they pulled it off pretty flawlessly. Like I was actually reading a piece on The Athletic about how there were positive tests actually within the support staff, like the people who were able to come and go. They did end up having a couple of positive tests there. So it's actually like more impressive in a lot of ways that it wasn't that they just managed to get out scot-free and never have anyone with COVID enter that situation, mm-hmm. but the fact that they did have a couple people with COVID, you know, infiltrate the bubble or whatever, and then still manage to contain that and not have that spread like to the players or the staff or any of the other people, and mm-hmm. and maintain that zero positive test within like the organization itself is pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they had them all cordoned off. I remember hearing some NBA personality talk about how he was like, we're not allowed to talk or look at them unless they're, you know, like unless there's a game going on.
I mean, I yeah.
Like, yeah, that adds
That's
up.
Just a day in the life working on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, right? So.
Oh, my God.
Pew. All of a sudden, I like there's a knock on the door.
It's Ellen.
15 seconds later, it's Ellen. It's like. Every time she like has like tentacles and stuff growing out of her. She's like, every time I hear my name in poor taste, I am there.
Yeah. Very funny, Claire.
She's not nice is the point of that joke if you don't know those stories. But you know, so the Lakers did win. So far, my favorite part about the Lakers winning the championship, I guess the first one was seeing LeBron smile for the first time in literal months was really enjoyable for me. And like same with Anthony Davis. It's like they're so focused. They're holding in so much emotion. Probably it was really moving for me, honestly, to watch them just sort of like let go of all those emotions they're holding on to. Because, you know, there's the pandemic. There's the election. There's, you know, the police brutality and the whole Black Lives Matter movement. Like all these things. There's Kobe. Like there's all these things they've been holding on to, but they've been trying to achieve this goal, and even those of us who aren't professional athletes, I think can relate to when you're focused on something, it's sort of like, it's almost helpful sometimes if you don't want to have to process those feelings you're feeling about something, because it's like, okay, well, I don't have time to think about that right now. I got to focus. So I thought it was really moving to watch them all sort of like fall apart in like a really beautiful way and be like, okay, I don't have to hold everything together so tightly anymore. Like I've done it. Now I can sort of let go.
Yeah. Somebody was saying like, you know, just watching the broadcast, and they were like, it's like they become kids again once they win the game. And I was like, that is so sweet and so true.
So
like,
true.
Yeah. Just giggling, you know, and just like yelling all these inside jokes. Like, you know, people are trying to give their speeches or whatever.
Yeah.
LeBron's giving a speech and people are like, rah, 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 you know, just yelling like shit. And I'm like, I have no clue what you all are talking about. But I'm
it's
like,
great. Cause that's you.
Yeah.
I saw so someone, cute. I disagreed with someone on Twitter last night. They were saying that, I know, can you believe Crazy. It? Me wow. disagree with someone on Twitter. but they were saying that they were complaining about the fact that LeBron interrupted AD when he was talking about Kobe and was sort of like joking with him and like
right,
and they were like, that's like I wish they had been able to let him finish what he was saying, and like it's disrespectful. And my interpretation of it, at least, and I know that I'm extremely biased because I'm like a total LeBron stan, but my interpretation of it was that AD seemed like he was really struggling with not just talking about Kobe but sort of like formulating thoughts at that moment.
Yeah.
And I think that AD is someone, because he doesn't have the experience LeBron has of being like a star on a team relevant, I don't think he has like quite the level of like media savvy that LeBron has. So to me, it was like LeBron trying to tap in and be like, I'm going to take some of this pressure off of you. I'm going to lighten this moment and try and make it a little bit less serious and intense so that you can feel less like verklempt. You know what I mean?
That's absolutely what was going on. Because I remember watching that and I was like, I'm almost going to mirror your thoughts exactly. So I was like, oh, he just like has not as much media training. And I felt very, very bad for him. Cause you know, it's a very private moment.
Yeah.
You know, a Kobe question's coming, but it came like on the heels of a lot of like very fun questions. Like, how does it feel to rock?
LeBron, honestly, I was surprised that they asked Anthony Davis that. Cause he's not that guy. I'm that guy, but not that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that guy on the team. Like, he's not the guy that usually gets those questions because he's not the finals MVP. He's not like the leader of that team. So I thought it was like a little bit probably shocking for him to be the one to get that question.
Yeah. So I appreciated LeBron jumping in. I was like, thank God.
Me too. And I feel like he was just trying to, I mean, when they started like, they're like, we're kind of being silly with him. They're like, he's that guy. Why are you asking him such serious questions? I feel like they were just trying to also sort of shake him out of like the paralyzing fear of being in that moment and just being like,
yeah,
not
and saying something
good, dude.
Wrong or yeah. Exactly.
But then someone was like saying that LeBron was like disrespecting like him having that shine for that moment and like trying to take the attention. And I was like, I feel like LeBron, I mean, I know that people feel all different types of ways about him. And I understand that's sort of what comes with the territory of being like the greatest, at least of your generation. But like, I think that he's too smart to like he's that's such a dumb, would be such a dumb move to be like, I'm just going to let the moment get away from me and like fuck up this really like sentimental moment. Like, exactly. I don't think that anything he does is like that thoughtless.
No, absolutely, you know? Not. Yeah. And it's just like, we've seen his character throughout the years, right? Like he's never done anything like that before.
No, yeah, he's just not a disrespectful person. Like, of all the complaints you could have about him, like, maybe in some ways he's too calculated or too thoughtful about his the way he moves.
But
you know,
Even when he's like super calculated, like when they asked, you know, started asking him the post game questions or whatever, I was like, oh, this is so canned, whatever. And then he got to those lines about like, I know that Rob wants his respect.
Yeah, and I want my damn respect,
and I
too.
I want my damn respect, too. And so I was like, good. Hey. And, like, the look on Rondo's face after he said that, like, yeah, that's it's like, say that shit.
Yeah, King. Rondo is the guy who'd be like, tell him that you want your respect.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like, damn, this is hot.
Was such a – I mean, the thing about LeBron, too, is, like, I mean, I feel like that's not something he probably said off the cuff without thinking about it first. Like,
right, yeah.
Am I going to demand respects if I win this? You know, like, I'm sure that crossed his mind. But just the fact he sort of like almost like sheepishly chuckled when he said it. It's like he almost couldn't fully just like lean into being like a Kobe type player.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And being like, give me my damn flowers. Like, you know, like that's just so – it's sort of like – sort of out of type for him in a way. So when he said that, he almost sounded like he couldn't believe he was saying it. That's like when I heard it, because I was like, you go, boy, like tell him. But he was like, and I want my damn respect too, like,
yeah,
come on, you guys.
but so
that was beautiful. Loved seeing the team celebrate, loved seeing like J.R. Smith's Instagram live. Dwight had a beautiful video. I don't know if you saw. He was like in tears, and he was just like, don't give up on your dreams.
Oh no.
It was so beautiful. So I'm like,
my heart exploded.
I know, I'm getting choked up even just thinking about it. Jesus. Maybe we can play a little clip.
Everybody out there, don't ever give up on your dreams. Get fucking do it. I swear, just keep fighting. I swear to God, don't ever give up on yourself. Bro, listen, don't ever give up on yourself. No matter how hard you give up, you're already a champion.
So that's the not petty side of me, just the genuinely good person side of me, is like seeing all these dudes who work so hard, so happy. The petty side of me has been deeply enjoying regurgitating all of these hot media takes from like Summer League and the off season and early in the season a year ago, the fuck, where everyone was like, the Lakers are too top heavy. They gave up too much for Anthony Davis. They don't have enough depth. You're crazy if you think they're in the same echelon as the Clippers. It's really, really great to see those things age like fucking milk.
Yeah, it did not go great. It aged like tuna.
Tuna in the sun, baby.
Tuna in the sun, baby. Yeah, I mean, last night I thought many, many, many times, I wonder what Paul George is thinking. You know, I wonder what Lou Williams is thinking. Like, I felt guilty a little bit because I was like, I should let that bitterness go. I should let it go. You know, the Clippers didn't do anything to me. They were just kind of like shitty a little bit and like, you know, taunting people. And I hate those billboards, as you know.
Right.
But I just kept, like, I could not stop thinking about the fact that, you know, LeBron is celebrating on this big stage. And like, part of him saying, I want my respect, is like, Kawhi is not better than me. You know, like, well, I still run this league.
And just like the people who, you know, like were angry when he came to the Lakers because he was like infiltrating on some sort of like exclusively Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant club. People who are offended to put him on the conversation with Michael Jordan. I mean, at this point, I feel like, all right, we're four titles deep now. This man has been in the playoffs almost every single year for the last like decade.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're at a point, he leads the league in like so many different stats, especially in the postseason. I feel like we're just at a point where it's like, it's sort of, it all comes out in the wash, and it's sort of really subjective who you think is the greatest of all time, right? Like that's, it sort of depends on how you define what makes someone the greatest. And I think if we're all using different metrics, it's never going to fully line up. But
exactly.
I think we can all agree that he's in the top three somewhere, depending on how you personally prioritize who's the GOAT. You know, like,
exactly.
And I think that it just sort of doesn't matter. It's like, I think we can put that conversation aside now and be like, okay, well, we'll never all agree on a GOAT. Mm-hmm. Never will. We'll never all agree on a favorite flavor of ice cream. That's fine. It's a very subjective conversation. He's my personal GOAT, but I understand that I'm not like the arbiter of what that is. But I think we can all agree, like, he's one of the best of all time, up at the very tippy top. Keeping that in mind, we can appreciate the fact that he is still playing and he's still playing at a really high level, and just sort of like enjoy him and give him his flowers while he's here, you know, like.
Yeah. And it's tough for me because, you know, I'm a Bulls kid, grew up
right
dead in the center of, you know, Bulls mania or whatever. Mm-hmm. And all that good stuff. But just like based on the eye test of like watching, you know, I watched Michael and I watched LeBron. You know, I'm just looking at LeBron. I'm like, oh, he's a better player. But
right. You know, yeah.
Whatever. You know, that's like unscientific. But the element of like LeBron really caring about a lot of issues that I care about, being very vocal.
Yeah.
Being a lot more of a leader in that way. And also knowing that Mike was like, he was a leader, but he was also seemed to be a punishing person to know.
Yeah, like leading by bullying.
Sort yeah, of. Exactly. That makes me like want to give it to LeBron, just because I'm like, well, if we're going to say greatest, like, yes, we want to talk about like, the greatest player, but like greatness is a lot of things.
It's a lot of things. Like, that's what it is for me, is that like, okay, sure. Like if we're just going off of like who's most likely to win you a basketball game, you know what I mean? Like there's definitely a case to be made for Michael Jordan, if not more of a case to be made for Michael Jordan, right? As the greatest of all time, just by that metric. But to me, someone being the greatest has to do with, yeah, with leadership, with sort of ambassadorship for the game not in a vacuum, like in the greater sort of context of the world. Is like, what did they do for basketball, and what do they do for the world? You know what I mean? And like, impact in that way, like cultural impact, And you know, all those other things, the intangibles, the like, do you make the people around you better? And like, how do you do that? And like, how do people talk about you? And like, all those things matter to me. But again, the thing is like, for how much that all matters to me, there's of course always going to be someone who's like, no, Michael's the GOAT and it doesn't matter. And so to me, it's like, I'm not going to make that my personal ambition to try and convince every person who thinks Michael Jordan is the GOAT that they're wrong, because that's just like very futile to me. But I do feel like we're at a point where there isn't really an argument that LeBron's one of the greatest of all time at this point. I think we just all need to agree on that. And that should be enough, I think, to just give him an immense amount of respect, because there's no one else currently playing in the NBA who's in that conversation. Yeah. So I feel like, okay, cool. So he's in that conversation. He's the only person in the league who's in that conversation right now. So like, can we just give him his damn respect, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's all he's saying is like, okay, cool. But like, I've proved myself now. So stop questioning me.
Yeah, four titles is a lot of titles, you know? And it's just
like, he's basically the only year he missed the playoffs in the last decade and a half or whatever.
He was hurt.
He was hurt for months. So I think that just the fact that like the sheer fact that this dude being on your team all but guarantees you a trip to the playoffs if he's healthy, and almost guarantees you a trip to the finals minus a few years. You know what I mean? So like, that's pretty spectacular. Yeah. I mean, especially at 35, but really at any age, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Didn't they check Jared Dudley in the last like 20 seconds? Is that a fever dream I had?
It might be. Because I feel like they didn't get cocky at any point. Like they didn't put in their like third string. You know what I mean? Like,
wait.
But LOL that Kostas got a ring before Giannis. The petty part of me who had to watch Giannis be like king me when the Bucks played the Lakers earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
5 years ago. that part of me that watched that is like, give me that crown back, bitch. Like, not yet. So who are you personally happiest for that they got a ring this year?
It's Dwight Howard. That's my answer easily.
Yes.
I feel like it might be yours. I don't know.
I'm really happy for Dwight Howard is like my number one. I'm also quite happy for Jared Dudley. Like he's like a he's been in the league for so long, and it's his first championship, and he just, by all accounts I've just heard, he's like an amazing person. So
yeah.
And then also really happy for AD.
Oh yeah,
there was a lot of fucking, there was a lot of slander when he came to the Lakers about like, oh, you're like got fucked over by Clutch Sports, like there were so many, I saw so many, like, you know, because people are airing out receipts last night, I saw so many like tweets and stuff that were like, he's on articles that were like, he's more likely to win a championship if he had just stayed in New Orleans with Zion, you know, and just like saying that he's like dumb for leaving New Orleans, or that or that he was bad for leaving the, like that was not cool of him to leave. Right. And I feel like being there for how long, 7 years, and not
for a long time,
and not ever like getting deep in the playoffs, and then the very first year you leave, you win a championship. I feel like that's a really good way to silence doubters. You know, absolutely. Like, yeah, I think I made the right choice.
Yeah. And I mean, people just, people, and including me, just underestimated how important it is to have maybe the two best players in the game on one team, but also how much, like, just like you were saying about LeBron, how much LeBron elevates people who you wouldn't see as title contenders. You wouldn't see like Alex Caruso and think like that guy is going to be the glue on a team.
So that's a really good transition to my next kind of topic I have here, or just wanting to talk about Miami a little more. But the thing that Miami and Lakers have in common that I really, that I think is really beautiful, and that I really have enjoyed watching, is I think it's a rare quality for one of the things that makes LeBron special, right, is it's a rare quality for a superstar of that caliber to also elevate everyone around him so much, and like to inspire the people around him to be better, instead of to just sort of like dominate in a way that minimizes the other people around you.
Exactly. Russ.
And the, one of the only other people in the league I think has that characteristic is Jimmy Butler. And like what he's done with this Miami team, I feel like he came to them and he could have easily, you know, just been like, I'm going to take over. But it seems like he really does inspire and elevate the people around him to be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really loved, I love the fact that like the two teams that made it the deepest were both teams where it's sort of like, you know, the star players elevate everyone else around them to sort of be their best selves, instead of sort of take away from what they're capable of doing.
Yeah. And then like you'll see something like a stat line for Russ or something like that, that, you know, it's a triple double and it's like he has 12 assists, but like there's a certain emptiness, you know, to a lot of.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah,
I feel like the Russ stands, I know, are going to be upset about that. But I know what you're saying. It's like, it's not stat chasing when you, like, some of, like, the way Jimmy plays or the way LeBron plays. Exactly. It's really just like, I'm going to make the best play in the moment. I'm going to trust my teammates. Mm-hmm. And I saw a post-game interview yesterday with Anthony Davis and Rajon Rondo where AD was saying, like, yeah, like, a bunch of people were giving LeBron shit for making that pass to Danny Green. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's who he is. Like, he trusts us, you know, and that means a lot to us. And, like, that's how we end up coming back and playing as well as we did tonight, is like, that's the thing. And that's what's so beautiful to me, is like, it's not always going to work out if you just implicitly trust your teammates, right? Like, not every pass you make is going to be an assist. Like, you're going to have to make some passes that don't work out, and just to prove to your team that you trust them. But I do think in the long haul, in the scope of things, it's worth those moments where Danny Green misses the shot, you know, to get the morale and the confidence in each other and the trust in each other that it takes to have a game like game six.
Yeah. And, you know, just from Danny Green's perspective and whatnot, it's like, if you know you're like, you can't hit the fucking broadside of a barn and LeBron is still passing it to you, that's really the only way you're going to get out of that slump.
Right.
I also really enjoyed that Danny Green hit two threes when they were like up 30. I was like, all right, go off, Danny. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was one of the people I wasn't sending death threats. That's insane. God. But I was one of the people giving him shit the night that he, the night of game five.
Yeah.
Just because he has been so bad, was so bad the whole series. Mm-hmm. And I just got really frustrated, which is my bad, I guess.
Whatever. He's bad.
But I remember hearing a story about Steve Nash that, like, he was the same way, where, like, if he passed you the ball and you fucked up, that he would be like, my bad, dude, that was a shitty pass. I'll do better next time. and never sort of like almost the antithesis of a Michael Jordan, right? Where you're like, I'm never going to put the blame on you. I'm always going to just tell myself that I could have passed it better.
Yeah.
And trust you again. And like that instills so much confidence in your teammates. And as we've seen, like momentum and sort of just like who's feeling it the most in a game, once you get to the level of the finals or even deep in the playoffs, I think it's everything, because everyone who's gotten that far is really good.
Right.
You know, so all the teams that make it at least past the first round of the playoffs, say, are really good. You know, and it really does seem like it's such a thing about effort and momentum at a certain point. Like,
yeah,
who wants it more?
Yeah, you're also very, very, very tired, right? Like,
right.
So, you know, when you saw the Lakers sort of pulling away, right? You started. I didn't see Miami's fatigue until the Lakers were like, you know, they're up 15 and they're really like not, punch them in the mouth, you know, the Heat or whatever. Then suddenly, I'm like, everyone in the Heat looks like they could use a nap.
Gas. Like, I mean, Jimmy Butler, like. There was basically no way he was going to be able to duplicate game five
because
that's like a heroic effort.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, too, is this year, especially, I'm sure you're totally gassed by the time you make it to the finals every year. But this year, there's also a part of you that just really wants it to be over.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you want to go the fuck home and you've been in this bubble for so long.
Yeah.
So there's like, I mean, I watched that happen kind of with the Nuggets, too. It was like at a certain point, it's like you're fighting. And then you realize like, I mean, there's got to be a part of Miami. They're not stupid. I'm sure they thought that they could win, and especially Jimmy, like, always believes he can win.
Always, yeah.
But there is also a part of you that's like, we're down 3-1 to arguably the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
And he's not leaving here without a championship. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a part of you that knows that's sort of an inevitability. Mm-hmm. Like, LeBron is not, especially at this stage in his career with how much he has to feel, still felt like he had to prove and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to leave a 3-1 situation on the table.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was never a possibility. Like I told you when we were making our predictions, like I could see it have been stretched to 7. And I think obviously that was the case, that if everyone had been healthy on Miami, I think it absolutely would have gone to 7 games.
Yeah.
But I just, there was no way once it went 3-1 that LeBron wasn't going to just end that shit.
Yeah. Well, I guess I wanted to say two things, but whatever. Watching Goran Dragic try to come back hurt my heart a little bit.
It hurt my heart.
Yeah, because I was like, he is not ready to play.
He was like limping onto the court. Forget off of the court. When he came into the game, he like couldn't walk.
And just be desperately trying to help your team. It's a situation we've seen before, but it, you know,
Saddest part of that is it felt sort of like it was like a Make-A-Wish type of thing. Like, I feel like Spo at that point was like, we're done for. They were already down substantially, and the momentum was just clearly with the Lakers that game. And Goran apparently had been begging to play like basically the whole series.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think at that point, Spo was probably like, we're pretty fucked. Like, what could it hurt to let him get a couple minutes? Because like that was his first NBA finals.
Yeah.
So that would suck to make it finally after that long of a career to make it to your first finals and then not even get to like get on the court at all.
That's how it was in Little League for me. They just like never put me in. And then if we were up big or down big, they'd be like, okay,
put
get out there,
coach.
Get out there in right field.
It's so funny. I'm the opposite. Like any sport, I tried a couple of different sports and I was terrible at all of them. Shockingly, because I'm such a specimen of athletic prowess. It's amazing that I was bad at sports. But I remember just like in my head, just praying they wouldn't send me in because it was just so much pressure every time. And I knew I was bad at it. There's nothing worse than like knowing that you're not capable of the task in front of you and just having to fail at it in front of everyone. But I remember there was one time I played softball for like 2 years, and there was one time they put me in the outfield because that's where they put people who suck.
Exactly.
And I caught like a pop fly ball that would have been a home run, and I caught it.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, this is why people play sports. This feels amazing. Yeah, exactly. But that was like my one moment, my one shining moment. Yeah. And everyone was like, you don't suck.
I still have PTSD over pop flies. And I know what we're talking about today, but oh my God, the pressure of catching a pop fly haunts me. One time
I can't believe I caught it.
Yeah.
It really,
and then one time I got hit in the head, my little brother, we were practicing, my brother pop flying and just hit me right in the fucking head. And then some guy across the street says, don't let him go to sleep.
Was this in Chicago?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
But then there was the second thing I wanted to say after Garland, which is that LeBron has been saying throughout these playoffs and probably for years, he's like, you show up, you do your best, and you live with the results.
Yeah.
And that has inspired me so much daily. Just like, you know what?
Oh, I'm
just gonna show up. Yeah, I'm just gonna show up today, do my best. You know, like not everything's gonna go my way. Cause it can be really tempting to be like, oh, well, this didn't work out, and that I thought if this was gonna happen for me, you know. And it's just, you know, it's a lovely way to live life, I think.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, I he said something in the post game of game 5 that I thought was really like sort of words to live by, like really nicely put. And they were asking him about the Danny Green play. And he was saying like, listen, I've played the game the same way since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. Like implying like, you know, that I'm going to trust my teammates and I'm going to play it as a team sport. I'm not going to just like, you know, whatever. And mm-hmm. he's like, I've had a lot of success with it. It's worked out really well mm-hmm. for me. So I'm not going to suddenly let one play or one game change the way I think about how you're supposed to play the game of basketball. Like, I'm not going to let this one setback totally derail me, basically. Yeah. And I thought that that was a really cool sentiment too. Just this idea of like, you know, especially like we're like in our 30s, you know, like, you know who you are, you know, like what you believe in and like how you believe that you should operate in the world and like what you love and what you care about. Like we know all these things at this point. So like you can't let some little setback or like some shitty thing or something that puts doubts in your head derail you off that path that you're on. Like you know what you're supposed to do. So just go do it, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
So I thought that was really cool. I also one more thing about Miami and I mean, so they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what a cool story.
Yeah.
So many cool storylines this year, but they were an amazing storyline. I'm really happy for it's a bummer that it ended the way it did. I was thinking last night, I was like, I sort of just wish the Lakers had like sneaked out a win in game 5. Mm-hmm. And just won by like 2 or 3 points in like a really in like an amazing battle.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would have been it wouldn't have diminished the Lakers win, right? Because winning a championship is winning a championship. Mm-hmm. But it also, I feel like, might have been almost better for Miami. Like, even though they got that win, which must feel nice, that it was only ended up being like 4-2. Mm-hmm. To go out getting blown out.
Yeah, exactly.
Is so shitty. And
yeah, it's like, this team is better than you. You know,
I wish that the Lakers could have just won by like a couple points in game 5.
Yeah.
And it would have ended as like a battle. And Jimmy Butler could have gone out like, you know, on top in some ways. I mean, losing sucks, but.
Right. I feel like some part of the Heat, and this is not even their nature, but I feel like some part of the Heat was like, you know what? People didn't even think we were going to be here. You know what I'm saying? And there has to be a certain point of like, you know what? like you just said a second ago, we're playing LeBron. We were supposed to be out in the first and second round. This is pretty sick. Let's call it a night here.
I mean, I don't think that they have a whole lot of give up in them. Like that team is pretty ferocious. And especially Jimmy, I think, truly believed that they were going to win the championship.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He's crazy. And that's what makes him so good. Mm-hmm. But I do feel bad for them that they had to go out like that. Because that's also sort of much like the final score of the Lakers only winning by 13 points was not an accurate description of how that game went at all. I feel like Miami losing that series in a blowout was not an accurate description of how that series was. You know, I feel like it's just that's just not if you only watched the last game, that just doesn't give you any sort of indication of how impressive they were.
Yeah.
But alternately, I think they have so much to be proud of.
Absolutely.
The future is so fucking bright for them.
Right.
Because they really can only get better. Like, you know,
They have a lot of great young players.
They have a lot of great young players. Jimmy is still in the prime of his career. Bam is like pretty new still, you know, and I think he's going to the sort of fire that gets lit under you after you get that close and then lose in such a spectacular fashion, I'm sure can only motivate you for the next year. Mm-hmm. I saw Rachel Nichols posted a video of like, I guess she said Bam takes a lap around the campus every night. And last night he had to walk by the Lakers victory party on his walk. And so you see him like walking by and you see the like purple and gold lights and like really loud music. And like Rachel's in the caption, she said that Bam walked by her and said, it's motivating.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, like hell yeah. Miami's going to be amazing next year. And they have such a bright future. And they have maybe the best coach in the league at this point. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's nothing to feel bad about if you're a Miami fan. If anything, like, you super overachieved this year. A bunch of your young guys now have championship experience.
Yeah.
You're going to be amazing next year.
Yeah.
The Lakers is, I feel confused. Like, I don't know what to think about the future because, I mean, I assume they'll mostly run it back. Hopefully they'll get rid of a couple of the players that don't contribute a whole lot.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Maybe someone whose name rhymes with Lyle Luzma. I don't know.
Bile Boozma.
Oh my God, Bile Boozma. That's like a night of throwing up after you've had too much to drink.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how.
That's what I'm gonna start calling it when you throw up green shit. It's Bile Boozma. I assume the Lakers will maintain a lot of what they have. It was weird. Like, Anthony Davis got asked in a post game interview if he was coming back to LA, and this is another sign to me. People were like freaking out about his answer because he didn't say yes at all.
Yeah, he always does that.
But, like, I feel like it was more of an indication of just his lack of, like, media savvy than about anything about his plans. Because he was just sort of like, I had a really fun year this year, and I don't know what I'm doing next year yet. Like, I haven't figured it out yet. Like, we'll see. And everyone interpreted that as, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you just won a championship. You're supposed to be like, can't wait to come back next year, you know? But that's just, to me, like, a lack of media savvy. Like, I think that he just didn't know the right way to answer that question. I don't see any reason for him to leave next year. They just won a championship. LeBron is still really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure he'll be back. You know?
Remember, there was a brief moment way early in the season when, like, he said something kind of suggesting, like, he'd be down to play for the Bulls. And can I tell you, wow, Bulls internet went crazy. But he never said, like, I'm coming to Chicago. He was just trying to do the thing where you throw people off the trail and you're like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Who knows? Anything could happen. Ha ha.
I mean, I could see him retire. I mean, you know, he's so young. He's still so young. I could see him, like, retiring in Chicago, maybe, if because he's from there, right?
Like a Kevin Garnett situation.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was listening to a podcast earlier this morning, and they were talking about how, like, the Lakers, they don't think the Lakers are a dynasty, you know, like, and it's weird. It kind of reminds me of, it's similar to that Raptors championship last year where it's like, it's really weird to win a championship and not feel any, like, clear faith that you can run it back.
Yeah.
You know, like, when the Warriors won, it sort of felt like inevitable, like, okay, well, barring crazy circumstances, this team's going to be really good for, like, the foreseeable future, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the West is so stacked next year, and there's so many teams that were, like, right there that it doesn't feel inevitable at all, you know? No. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know.
That's what everybody was talking about with the Clippers, and they're like, yo, this was probably your one shot to do this because it's about to get ugly. Like, oh my God.
I mean, the Clippers are still fully in it, I think, for next year. If they can figure out the team chemistry thing, and they're going to get rid of some of the, I think it's good. They're going to get rid of, it looks like, some of the kind of OG people from their roster who probably felt a little resentful at the treatment that Kawhi was getting coming in.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're going to, like, get rid of, like, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. And I mean, they kind of have to at this point, like, the chemistry sucks. So they got to do something.
Yeah.
So I think the Clippers are still for sure in it. I mean, the Nuggets are going to be amazing next year. Like, they gave the Lakers a run for their money. They gave everyone a run for their money. And they're maintaining probably basically that exact same team coming back next year. So I think the Nuggets are going to be amazing.
When you say the Clippers are in it, what do you mean by that?
In the race for
the
title.
You think they're in the race for a title?
I do.
Okay. I mean, you are Claire Stradamus. So.
We can talk about that later, how accurate my predictions were.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think they're going to do it. I personally don't think they're going to do it, but I think they're still in the conversation because they still have Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard is one of the top five best players in the league. So you're always in the conversation if you have one of the top five best guys. You just are.
Right.
Yeah. Regardless of whether your number two is Paul George or not. but then also Golden State's coming back. Locked and loaded.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Steph's going to be back.
More loaded than they were.
I mean,
well, they don't have KD or Kevin Durant, but
yeah, but I mean, I think they're gonna have Steph, Clay, Draymond, and probably one other somebody, you know. So they're coming back. They're definitely gonna be in the hunt for the finals. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's and also honestly, I think the Mavs are about to make a huge leap next year. Like, I think Luka. My prediction for next season is that Luka's gonna be the MVP next year.
Damn, bold.
It's my bold prediction. I think he got basically the perfect amount of experience this year, where he got a taste of the playoffs, but they got eliminated early enough that it's like super motivating. So I think the Mavs are going to be, if they can add another piece in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like if they added like a Bradley Beal or someone like that, like I think they would definitely be in finals contention. So the West is stacked. So it's definitely not like an easy road for the Lakers to just get back to a championship.
I feel like the Warriors aren't going to walk to it, but I feel like it's like the Warriors. The Warriors are coming back like, oh, thank you all for keeping it warm for us. But like, let's be honest here.
I think it's going to be really, really fun. Like I'm excited. Like the next season, I mean, we said that about this season and then COVID happened. But like, but you know, we've got, for the first time in as long as I can remember, like I'm as excited about the East as I am about the West. Like I think that historically, obviously the East has been like a weaker conference, but you've got Miami coming back. You've got Boston will be really good again. The Nets, it's a total question mark, like they do have Kyrie and Kevin Durant. So in theory, they should be really good or really, really bad. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like there's Milwaukee with Giannis with a huge chip on his shoulder. There's a lot in the East to look forward to. And then obviously in the West, we just ran down, like it's kind of anybody's championship next year again. So
yeah,
should be a really fun season if and when it ever happens.
God, yeah, right. How long has it been since KD has played? Good God. And then
a year and a half or something. Yeah. Maybe almost 2 years, because like this season was so long.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw somebody talking about they were gonna start the season in January. I was like, please do not.
Just don't rush it.
Please chill. Like it's forever pushed back. You know, just going forward, this is just like how we're living now.
It's going to be really weird to not have the NBA on Christmas. I got to say, like,
true, yeah.
To actually have to like pay attention to my family instead of just tuning them out and watching basketball all day. That's going to be really strange.
I'm going
to
dress in all black and put headphones in.
You're going to wear your amazing Halloween costume on Christmas instead of.
Oh my God, it's such a good Halloween costume.
I still don't have mine figured out.
I'm still waiting on my last piece, which is a Lakers jersey.
Maybe next week we'll run down some Halloween content, okay. Hashtag content.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one more thing about, because this is obviously the end of this NBA season, at least. Amazing season, so much fun. It was crazy ups and downs, like one of the most tragic and fucked up seasons ever, but also at the same time, like some of the best basketball I've seen, especially like in the bubble, was amazing. But I really love, we've talked about like morals of stories. You know, I remember when the Clippers got eliminated, I talked about how much I love the moral of that story being like, you can't take shortcuts, you can't just assume that it's yours, you have to actually work for it and give a fuck and play for each other. The moral of the Lakers winning and the moral of Miami getting as far as they did to me is so awesome, because it's really just like the Lakers were, at least in the West, the best team all year. They came out the gate guns a-blazing. They really tried all year long. They busted their asses for that number one seed, and they weren't too cool to try all year.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Like they really built their team chemistry the hard way and really like busted their asses and developed like a true camaraderie with each other and a true trust in each other. And they play team basketball, you know, and I know there's a lot of complaints. That's like, they have the two best players in the series, but it's like, but I don't think that was what won them the championship. Like, obviously that's a huge part of it, but I really do think it's like the cumulative effects of a year of giving a fuck together. I think won that championship.
Yeah,
you know,
and then the experience of Rajon Rondo, like that really showed the fuck up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like the vets, like everyone sort of played knowing their role, playing their role, not trying to do something that wasn't their role, you know, I think is like really cool. And also when you look at the teams who really gave LA anything close to a run for their money, it was teams like Miami and teams like Denver, who it's sort of a similar story where it's like they're scrappy, they have heart. They play for each other. They bust their asses. They play hard, you know, and like those are the teams that really like pushed LA to actually have to like really struggle, you know?
Yeah.
And I just love that. I love that. I love that for the sport. I love that moving forward as like a moral of the story is like, hey, give a fuck. It's cool actually to give a fuck. And like, you know what I mean? Like play for each other, trust each other, play team basketball, like don't play fucking hero ball. Like, I just think that's really beautiful. And I love that as the overall moral of the story. I think that's really cool.
I am curious to see where the Rockets go this season.
Yikes.
I mean, so
what do they do?
What do you do?
What do you, their roster is so weird.
It's so strange.
It's like if you bought a house that was furnished and the person who lived there before, Mike D'Antoni, like had really weird taste.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you're just
yeah.
like, what do I do with the fact that everything in my living room is taupe? Like, just what like do I do with this?
A bust of Ronald McDonald above yeah, the fireplace.
Just like, yeah, or like someone who's really obsessed with like pop art. And so there's just like Liechtenstein everywhere. And you're like, why? I guess I have to just keep it. I can't really afford to refurnish this cats. Whole house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, good luck to whoever the next head coach of the Rockets is. I really don't know what you do with that roster.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't even mention them, did we? In our like West title rundown?
I don't think they're in contention for a title next year. I think that the Rockets are like in the worst place that they've been in like five or 6 years to me, because their window of opportunity to me was the year that they took Golden State down to the wire in the conference finals. And, you know, if Chris Paul hadn't gotten hurt, who knows, right? Because that was really their series to lose at a certain point.
Yeah.
To me, that was the window. That was the window. Like, they could have won the championship that year, I think, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, they don't really have what it takes to rebuild, you know, because they still have all these kind of expensive contracts and like they have no one tall. It's just like such a weird roster. Like, I don't know.
Small ball.
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do, Houston.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth just pivoting to the Dallas Mavericks if you live in Texas.
Pop those jerseys out,
the future
baby.
Is very bright in Dallas.
Before I don't know where we are right now, but yesterday, you know, all the celebrations are going on.
You don't know where we are physically, emotionally.
Just let it, you know, we're going to let it stand because
it's
honestly,
time,
that
time
applies
to wrap up pretty soon, but
that
go
applies
ahead.
To everything.
I don't know where we are. Yeah.
But a good friend of mine, everybody was, you know, celebrating in the streets. Echo Park was like, you know, people, she was popping off, right? Mm-hmm. Attacking cop cars. And my friend was like,
yeah.
Because yesterday was National Coming Out Day. He's like, it's so exciting to see everyone out in support of National Coming Out Day. Just so pumped for queer people.
Just lighting shit on fire, rioting in the streets. I'm out. I love that.
Yeah.
Before we go, can I just, I know we've talked about the sexual connotations of the phrase toot your own horn, but I just need to toot my own horn for a second because so many of my predictions came true.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And one of them was I said after game four, I said, I think Miami wins game five, but then I think the Lakers finish it up in six.
Yeah.
A bunch of people told me, no, the Lakers, no, wait, no chance. Lakers are winning game five. And I said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That came true.
Yeah.
And then also back in early August, I said, when it looked like Giannis was like still quite the front runner for MVP, I said, okay, cool. So Giannis is going to win the MVP and then LeBron is going to win a championship and win finals MVP. Like, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good for me. That works.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So shout out to all my haters. I'm just kidding.
Claire.
Yes.
Will I be a millionaire by the end of the year? Come on.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh,
unfortunately, no.
Next year.
I wouldn't,
next year.
2021 is your year, though.
Okay. Thank you so much.
It's all going to come up roses for you in 2021.
Derek Roses?
Yes. Yeah. He's involved. We can talk about that off the air, though. Yeah, Derrick Rose is involved in ways that you would never imagine.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Okay. Yeah. But wow, what an NBA season, Tolliver. What a ride.
A
full 13 months of just what the actual
fuck. A
full
14 years of NBA basketball.
For a full 2 decades of basketball. It's crazy that at the beginning of this NBA season, Larry Bird was still playing for the Celtics. And now here we are.
Now here he is.
Amazing. But we still have plenty of things to talk about, so I will definitely see you next week.
Yes.
We're going to talk Halloween next week. I'm going to tweet about this, but next week we are going to do a mailbag episode. So get your mailbag questions into us. We're going to answer anything and everything. It does not have to be basketball related, but of course, ideally basketball related.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.